Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
So I'm going to start a teaching series, and I will teach today, this week, Sunday. I'll continue my teaching series on Tuesday on the spirit of counsel. Kai. Then next week Sunday, I'll take the second part of this teaching. Then the upper Sunday is supposed to be the Valentine's week. So we have a special relationship weekend where we're going to have Friday for singles. And the subject we're going to be discussing on Friday will be what? Seven decisions that will shape your forever after. If you will say forever after, decisions that shape your forever after. You know, they usually say, and they lived happily forever after. Some people live sorrowfully forever after. Some people live regretfully forever after. Seven decisions that can shape that. Then for the couples, married people, on Saturday, invite your friends. The last time we had it here, the whole of this front session here, we know couples were plenty from different places. We had couples that had been in marriage for 30-something years, 20-something years, 42 years, 30-something, 20-something. We had couples everywhere. Wisdom is profitable to direct. And, you know, we had a great time learning. So I want you to please go the extra mile and invite people. Invite your friends, invite your colleagues, invite your neighbors, then invite your neighbors you know that are married. Those of us who are married, look for every married person around you on Saturday. Let them come here. So much will happen by the revelation, the teachings. And what we're going to be sharing is secret marriage killers that can impact you and your children. In other words, they are marriage killers that are transgenerational. They impact one person, they get to another generation, they can impact a second and a third generation. Are we here together? I'm taking my time to announce all these things because I know how important it is if you pay attention to the right things. Right words are forceful. So you need to please engage everybody. You know, some of us have brothers and sisters that you feel they need to listen. They need to come. Encourage them. You might need to pay transport for some people because they will not want to move. Encourage them. If you're a woman, you need to cook a special food for your husband and give him special promises. Encourage him. I know what I'm saying. Because when it is done right, you will never regret it. There's nothing like having peace of mind. Peace. Somebody say peace. Oh, yeah. Peace. Peace. Peace of mind. It's very critical. Amen. Yes. So do that. My books are also out. We have, we have the books. They are ready. And I think we closed the pre-order already. So if you want to get now, you can go ahead and order. It's 2,500 naira for the books. This one, When You Pray, this book is a game changer. This book is a game changer for prayer. It's a game changer for prayer. Game changer for prayer. You pick any chapter on that book and you can stay on it for 1 week praying. Then you get a word. Then you get a word from God and you place a demand. This particular one, the devotional guide to conquering the flesh, walking in freedom. I talked about a lot of things. When I mention anything I think is around in that book, I'll let you know that it's somewhere around here. 40 days, then I talked about how people regret things, the eternal implications of sexual sins. I talked about the body implications, the soul implications. I'll share some of them today or next week Sunday so that we can understand some things. And I also did a whole lot of work, you know, at the back, explaining the temptation cycle, how it starts and how people eventually fall, and how it starts and how people eventually, you know, come out of temptation. So you can check the cycle and prayerfully study it, then know how to come out. I have another book outside there, What Every Man Wants in a Woman. There are relationship books. Go get them. January, this is a new year. You need to have books that you are reading. You don't enter a year without planning for mental upgrade, transformation equipping yourself with the right knowledge that will shift your life. So I please want to beg every one of us to pay attention to books. Depending on the area, you also think you need it. I have a book on financial fitness. You want to buy that. There's a special one for ladies, Wisdom 31. She wants to buy that. Very powerful book. Which other one? Break That Relationship. Yes. Signs that you need to watch out for. Red flags are very important. If you don't pay attention to red flags, you will live in a red house. And red is danger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you pay attention. Then another one is Keep Your Theme. 12 Godly Reasons Why You Must Stay Away from Premarital Sex. Then which one again? Overcoming Sexual Temptation. Yes, there's a book on that. This is a devotional. There's a book on that that talks some of the things I'll be sharing, you know, today. But this one is special because I'm going to be talking a little bit somewhere around soul ties. And I'll tell you, there are some people around, they are not aware that somebody who has good understanding can tell that certain dimensions of sexual relationship is what has caused their emotional trauma and their behavior. Just listen to me very well, and you will learn everything God wants us to learn today in Jesus' name. So I'll start today, I'll stop, then next week I'll continue. Then the week of the Adam and Eve, we will do what we should do. Then I will end this message last Sunday in February. That's 4 Sundays. Is that good? Good. So we are in for a very great time. Get ready. If you have people that need to hear these things, you know that everybody needs to hear it. Not if you have people, every human being. If you are a counselor, you need to sit down so that you are having in your hands counseling tools to shape the destinies of people. If you are a parent, please, I beg you, you cannot answer the 21st century questions on this subject if you don't know it. And if you do not explain it well to your children and your kids as they grow up, if you're taking care of teenagers and somebody else explains to them, they are gone. Then sexual sin and sexual temptation does not know your age, does not know your title, whether you are bishop, you are reverend, you are apostle, it does not know. Temptation comes to everybody, but what you do will determine whether you will fall or you will be standing. Are we here together? That's why the Bible says, take heed, he that thinks he stands, lest he what? Fall. I'll tell you a little story. I'll build from that. Many of us are not aware of the son of the great evangelist Billy Graham. Billy Graham had a son called Franklin Graham. Son of a very famous evangelist, but growing up he had an identity crisis. He didn't figure out who he was. As a result of that, he could not fit into his father's ministry. Billy Graham was going everywhere around the world, reaching out to people, preaching, packing stadiums. People were getting saved, you know, dropping their addictions, coming out of many things. And this young boy, whose father happens to be a global televangelist, you know, doing so much for God, was stuck in alcoholism. He was stuck in smoking. He was a wild person. When they say wild, he was very wild. Very wild. Frankly, Graham became so wild. Yet his family could not manage him. During his teenage years and early adulthood, he resisted everything that was Christian. The same thing his father was talking about, he fought it and told them he was not interested. But somewhere in 1974, at the age of 22, he had an encounter. So you see, before he got to 22, he had started living like a wild person. Identity crisis. And I know why I'm starting from the subject of identity. I know why I've decided to start from that place. Because if you do not know who you are, you will settle for everything. You would live a fake life. You would settle for another person's life. In fact, somebody can design a life and give to you and you start living it because you don't know who you are. So this young man kept living like that until he had an encounter in 1974 that changed his life. Then his inheritance that would never have been handed over to him was handed over to him. All the things that his father had labored for, nobody could hand over anything to him. But as he grew up, remember the Bible says that a son does not differ from a slave if he does not grow up from being a baby to a mature person. Are we here together now? I'm paraphrasing right now. Galatians chapter 5, I guess. Is it Galatians 5? Now, he doesn't differ from a slave. The reason is because though he be the Lord of all things, the Bible says that you cannot hand it over to him because he is yet a child. So maturity is required for us to hand over inheritance to people. So while this boy was being like that, nobody could hand over everything to him. At 22, he made a decision for Jesus Christ. Then they handed over an organization to him. The Puritan Post was handed over to him. Also, some part of the Billy Graham Evangelic Ministry, he became a leader in the system, and he started growing like that until he fulfilled his prophetic destiny. There are certain people under the sound of my voice today that needs to hear this. There are people today that have lost their inheritance because when they ought to grow up to become sons and handle things, they were babes. And you cannot give your car key to your son that is 6 years old. No matter how inquisitive, no matter how smart he thinks he is, no matter how much he plays video game, car race on his phone, you will not give the key to the child. Am I communicating? Why? Because he's yet a child and he does not understand what it means or what it will, the consequences of driving a car and having an accident. He can't even drive. He has not learned how to drive. So one of the reasons why I mentioned this is because many people have issues of identity. They don't know who they are. When you know who you are, you will not settle for what you are not. Your identity determines your standards, your choices, and the life you live. Write it down. Your identity determines your standards. Your identity determines the choice that you will make. Your identity determines the life that you will live. Identity. Who am I? Who am I? Who exactly am I? You need to know who you are. Many years ago, we saw a movie, I don't know, Coming to America. Remember that movie? The Prince. Can you remember? Yes. And he happens to be a prince. But you see, when you are in a place where nobody knows you, forget your identity, whatever it is, if you have not asserted your authority and people get to know it, they will treat you like a slave until you reveal your identity. And God wants us to live out our identity. The reason many people are involved in so many things on the face of the earth today is lack of understanding of who they are. You need to wake up and know who you are. When you know the truth about your worth, when you know your worth, you won't be distracted by the noise all around town. So many people making noise everywhere, you will not be distracted. There's an African adage that says, a lion does not turn around when a dog barks. When a dog barks, a lion doesn't turn around. You know why? The barking of a dog does not intimidate a lion. When things are happening around the world and you know that you're a lion, you don't turn around. You don't try to conform to the standards or behave like the things you see because it's happening. So what? Because the lion knows that what will make me turn must be serious. This is just the barking of a dog. Why should I turn? And most of the things that happen in the world that we see, they are barkings of dogs. But when we do not know who we are, we turn around, we are distracted, then even lions will begin to fraternize with dogs and share food with dogs. When you do not know your place, the devil will take advantage of you. All manner of things will begin to happen. You start acting below your capacity. And over the course of our lives, our identity and personality can be shaped by a lot of things. Some people, it is the school that you attended, the people you connected with. Some of us, our culture. Some of us, the media, the world around us is beginning to shape our mindsets and our identity. Humans keep seeking Ghani, or this, whatever the name of the source, that's what they will call it. That's why when God was going to create man, he did not go straight to the dust of the earth first. No, he did not start creating man from the dust of the ground first. He created man from himself. He did everything and he said, let the fishes come out of the water, they come out. Let the birds show up from here, they came out. Let everything show up. When he was going to create man, he said, come, let us make man. Where? Go back to our image, our likeness, our image, our likeness. So man is from who? God. Let's go back. So if you really want to trace the worth of a man and the value of a man, you will not go to a tree. You will not go to Satan. You will not go to the world. You go to the ultimate source, the creator of man, and you will trace man back to God. The components that make God God is what makes man man. If I bring a chair that is made of a mahogany wood, you know that there's no how I'll be opening it and I'll be seeing another stuff inside. It is still mahogany wood. If I get a piece of paper and from a particular wood they brought the papers, I will trace it and discover that this is its source. When we open man, we should see God. That's the idea. When we try to discover man, we should start seeing God. But Satan was so smart in his attempts to mess up everything. And that's why the Bible says that he came in the cool of the day. God will always come. So Satan did not wait for the cool of the day. He came in the heat of the day. He came in the heat of the day and he deceived Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that somehow he got them to eat the fruit of the tree and eventually they lost their identity. Imagine Satan asking the woman, has God said that you should eat of the tree of the garden? And he said, God has not said we should not eat, but he said the day we eat this particular one, we shall surely die. He said it's a tree that will make one wise and become like God. That's why God doesn't want you to eat it. But Eve did not know that she was already made from the structure called God. It's just like saying they took from the God tree and they made the furniture. Whatever that furniture is, it is from the source. So Eve would have told Satan that, why do I need to become like God when I am already a God? He has made the heavens and the earth for himself, and he designed man to be the ruler over the face of the earth. But because she did not have answer, Satan got to her. Do you know the reason why many people go to test one thing or the other? The reason why some people are going to test drugs and try many things, they are looking for satisfaction. They want something more. They are designing something that can make them come to the height and the peak of that. That is test. They are looking for pleasure. Pleasure. Pleasure, that's the right word. Man likes pleasure. They just desire it. And as a result of that, Satan will say, try this. They will try. If they didn't get it, they will say, no, try ice. Ice did not work. Arizona did not work. Loud did not work. Low did not work. Go did not work. Yahweh did not work. Then they keep trying everything. And as they are trying it, the whole system, if they are being the real makeup that God has put inside them, everything begins to die. Not only their body, their soul. Not only their soul, their spirit. For man is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. Satan is a strategist, but we thank God that the Holy Spirit is a master strategist. And that's the reason why God has given us wisdom, to be able to open the eyes of people so that they can see and have understanding. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice. I have prayed over this message and I pray during the course of these teachings all through, light will break forth in the name of Jesus. The definition of true fulfillment, God will redirect your attention to see in the name of Jesus. The satisfaction you desire and cannot find anywhere else, God will bring it to you in the name of Jesus. We must understand our identity. Our definition of identity ought not to be based on physical appearance. So somebody is trying to trace their identity, their physical appearance, so they have a low self-esteem. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I don't have enough bust. I don't have enough chest. I want 7 packs. I need another extra. They are padding, they are adding, they are subtracting. Who you are is not just on the external. There is a real substance of the person that you are. Are you getting what I'm saying here? When you get to know that, forget whatever it is. You can stand tall. You can stand bold. You can stand anywhere. They said that to Oprah Winfrey as a black girl, that she didn't have the potential. She couldn't do TV. It's not possible. But she went deep and dug into herself what God had kept from the foundation of the world, and eventually became a global TV icon. Listen to me. There is so much inside of you. Regardless of your shape, your height, your stature, your race, your whatever ethnicity, God has invested so much. And I'm sure that he's a wise master investor, and he does not want to get losses on his business. And I pray that you will not bring loss in the name of Jesus. Identity is not in those physical things. It's not just in our personality. Sanguine, melancholy, calangoli, everything. No, our identity is not necessarily in. Those are things that just make up part of our behavioral patterns and all that. Our identity, if you are looking for man, the identity of man can be found where? In God. God. Identity as human beings, Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, we're created in the image and likeness of God. So the truth that we are made in God's image should be profoundly shape our view about ourselves. It will challenge us to reject false ideologies based on worldly standards and embrace the truth that only God's design can give. When we understand the deeper meaning of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, you will be free from pressure, external pressure. Anybody can pressure you to do what you're not supposed to do. When you understand what Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 means, you will not allow any body anywhere. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Our image, according to our likeness. They are supposed to have dominion. Not that the things will dominate man. Imagine the tree that God planted for man, herbs and animal. That is what somebody is taking. And after taking it, they are hitting their head on Nepal pole. Nepal pole. The tree is now controlling the person. Are you okay? You are supposed to control it. How is it controlling you? You are supposed to dominate. Look at it now. Dominate. Look at all the things you are supposed to dominate. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle of the field, over the earth. Over Igbo. Earth is Igbo. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The believer's identity now, that this I'm speaking now, is about everybody, whether they are born again or not. Every human being that comes to the face of the planet Earth is from the image and the likeness of God. Now, when Satan marred the identity, we now had people who are darkened and people who become enlightened when they come into Christ. Now, let me talk about in Christ, since majority of us are believers, and I know that those who are not born again yet, before the end of this service, you'll be given an opportunity. Let me talk a little bit about that. Somewhere around, I'll just pick one or two things. I'll wrap up. We'll continue next time. Amen. Yes. So as believers, the moment you accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and personal Savior, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are what? Passed away. Can you help me amplify my voice a little bit? Behold, all things have become new. So presently, you may not look like it. But as you continue to renew your mind by the word of God, as you continue to renew your mind by the word of God, you are shaped. Confess the things that you are in Christ. The Bible says very, very clear. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You are born to show forth the praises of God who has called you out of darkness into his word, marvelous light. That means a believer is not in darkness. Come on, say, I'm not in darkness. Can you say that? I am not in darkness. And I'm not just in light, I am in marvelous light. Glorious light. The marvelous light is the light that makes you a sign and a wonder. The word marvel is to be a wonder. They look at it and they're trying to understand. No, the Bible says the wind blew where it listed and no man knows the direction of the wind. So he's a man of the spirit. That's why the discussions that went on in the realms in heaven, they began to ask questions. What is man that you are so mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him, you made him a little lower than Elohim, that is yourself, and you crowned him with glory and honor. Then you set him over the works of your hands. What is man? You need to sit down and pray and say, God, demystify man to me. Open up who the reality of who I am. Open up the reality. Some people are not even, apart from being born again now, calm down. Apart from being born again, the intelligence that God has put in man, 14 billion brain cells. Just look at the sophistication of your phone. Look at the sophistication of cars. Look at aeroplanes. Just look at all these things were made by what? Man. And anyone under the sound of my voice here, exposed to the same kind of knowledge and school, you can do the same thing. That's the truth. It is environments that can place a limitation on people and the level of your exposure and education. If you are exposed to the same thing under the same circumstances that the same people are exposed to, most likely you produce the same result. Even those who are genius and special, they explain things to those who work with them and they can understand it. That means the human mind has the capacity to grab things. But the devil is always angry at what God has put inside of us. He's not comfortable. He's so pained. And the first thing he did in the Garden of Eden is to come and he truncated the plan of God. And man fell. And man became a subject of ridicule. Man became so ordinary. Man became empty like Samson after he had messed up with Delilah. And the Bible says they shouted, Samson, the Philistines are on you. He shook himself as every other time. And Samson was an empty man. Adam stood up and tried, but Adam could not do anything. God said, get out of the garden. Let's go and replant it. Then somewhere God replanted it, and in Christ Jesus, the Bible says that he has raised us to be seated together with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? When your identity is reclaimed, your life will be discovered. People have not discovered their real life because their identity is missing. Know who you are. Am I communicating? Your identity is based on the word of God. Your identity is based on what God says. Never allow present challenges. That you don't have money in your pocket doesn't mean that you're going to be broke for life. That poverty is not stupidity. Poverty is not stupidity. It's just the absence of the enough knowledge and information and ability to solve problems that poverty is. Because if you solve problem and create value, money will come into your pocket. Am I making sense here? That's what poverty is. And it doesn't mean that the person who is poor is necessarily stupid. If they wake up and they can find a problem to solve, it's as simple as somebody just discovering something to do. And when you do, they pay you for it. The more you do something bigger, they pay you again. The more you can expand what you are doing, they pay you more again. The more you can solve the problem of them, they pay you more. So that's what money is about. Let nobody intimidate anybody. The only thing is that it's not comfortable to be poor. Don't be broke. I'll never be broke in life. I've burned the bridge of poverty. I'm not going back there. Never allow your present situation, a changing world, circumstances, people, secular humanism, and the standards of the world. Do not let it affect you. Let God's word define who you are and determine how you conduct your life. I'll say it again. Let God's word define who you are and determine how you conduct your life. That's what it's supposed to be. Rick Warren said something very powerful. And I take note of that very strong. He said, you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. You were made by God and for God. Until, you know what I thought about on this? Please, if you've not listened to my message on Tuesday last week, I beg you. Go and listen to it. I beg you. If you don't have, if you don't understand, if you don't know what understanding is, oh God, you'll be rubbish for life. I went to school one day, I met students, and I taught them about the power of understanding. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, students there, I can't remember. And somebody came, it was a turnaround for that person. I didn't know that was what, I said, that's what understanding is. The Ethiopian eunuch came and said, understandest what thou readest. Philip was asking him. He said, how will I if somebody does not teach me? So to gain understanding, there must be a tutor. And the tutor must explain it in such a way that it will bring clarity. And when clarity and understanding has come, one of the things it does, it shows you consequences. It shows you purpose. It shows you the reason why you do things. It explains to you the deeper meaning of life. Then your decision can be made adequately. The reason people make foolish decisions is because they lack understanding. Am I communicating, church? Have you been blessed this morning already? So he said, you were made by God and for God. Until you understand that, life will never make sense. And we come to church. A lot of people come to church, but sometimes I'm beginning to see that many people who come to church, not all of them really believe the word of God. And some people are very selective about the things that they believe in the Bible. You need to clear that out and make up your mind that if the Bible is the word of God and is the whole counsel of God and it is for my good, I will listen to what the Bible says. I will follow what the word of God is saying. Are we here together, church? Is anybody learning something this morning? Yes. So my question for you this morning, one question. Do you believe God's word to be true and that God's word has better plans for you in all areas of your life? Do you believe it? How many of us believe it? If you say, Pastor, I believe that God's word is true and he has better answers for me in all areas of my life, please raise up your hand. God bless you. Put your hand down now. God bless you, church. And to back that up, it says in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and what? A future. In Romans chapter 8 verse 23, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are taught according to his word, purpose. In Psalm 33 verse 11, give me the NIV. I want to use the NIV to quote that. Psalm 33 verse 11. It says the counsel, look at now. It says, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. So one generation cannot come, whether baby boomers or baby alphas or Gen Z or JQ, cannot change what God has said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will reward. Remain. It will remain. Why? By God created the whole world with words. And he wrote down words and gave to men. And you think that the word of God can expire? It cannot. No generation will come and the word of God now expires. It's not possible. And it is written there to validate it, considering that God knows other people will come. He said, Jesus, that is the living word of God, Jesus, the word of God, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Are we here together? So get ready for a little introduction this morning, then I'll close this service. Definition of sex. Listen now, I'm talking about sex, relationship, and marriage. Soul ties and covenants. The truth about sex, relationship, and marriage. Sex is a natural. Do we have any person less than 13? You can go to the children's church. If there's anybody less than 13, you can go to the children's church. I'm not talking anything deep, but I don't think that should be in the children's church. Sex is a natural physical activity between two people that involves intimate body contacts, often for the purpose of reproduction, pleasure, and deepening emotional connection within a committed marital relationship between a man and a woman, and has effects on your spirit, soul, and body. I'll define again. You won't find the division anywhere. So just listen. Sex is a natural physical activity between two people that involves intimate body contact. Why I say two people is because if a man and a man are relating, they are not having sex. It is called sexual perversion. Because two males cannot have sex, two females cannot have sex. They can only pervert sex. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a natural physical activity between two people that involves intimate body contact, often for the purpose of reproduction. Two males cannot reproduce, two females cannot reproduce. That's the original purpose of sex. Pleasure and deepen emotional connection within a committed marital relationship between a man and what? A woman. And has effect on your spirit, soul, and body. Note, it is between a man and a woman, not boys and girls. Note, it is in a committed marital relationship. Note, how many notes have we now? Okay, hold on to that too first. You see, when you teach truth, anybody can take it, anybody can leave it. But the Bible says that a wise man sees destruction and he changes his mind. A foolish person will see it and will head on. But God has told me that this message will transform lives. And not only today that it's being preached, every other time people listen to it again and again, there will be opening of their eyes and understanding in the name of Jesus. So why are we discussing this in church? It is one of the major distractions and destroyer of the destiny and relationship of many people with God. The destroyer of the relationship of many people with God, and the destiny distraction. Many people have been distracted in destiny. I can't keep mentioning how many of them, even those who have gotten to great heights. I can mention those who are both, those who are unbelievers and those who are born again. I can even have pictures of pastors. I don't like to call believers when it comes to things like that. But I have known a story of a man of God that filled stadiums also and did very powerful things for God. But somehow, he didn't even have sex with a prostitute. He just paid attention. The pornography was not common in their days. So if you want pornography, you will pay the prostitutes to do it naked in front of you. They'll just be naked and be dancing. So that's what he paid for. That's the agreement they had. And somehow along the line, he was caught. And the prostitute was willing to come and confess on the crusade ground. And he said, instead of you to come and confess on the crusade ground, I will tell everybody. And he told everybody about it. The congregation that is supposed to be very large and almost maybe quarter of stadium size when it is his church, then stadium size when he has a program, everything shrunk to less than 500. Everything he built with his life came crumbling. Then they had to put people around him because he was depressed and about to commit suicide. And severally they were putting him under watch. He has a Bible today that is the name attached to a Bible. That's the level at which Satan can drag a person and generationally drag the person down. Somebody under the sound of my voice, I pray for you. You will not be caught in the web in the name of Jesus. So do you really honor God? That's another question I want to ask us, church. Church people, people of God, do you honor God? Oh, can you be loud if you really think you honor God? Very good. So let's talk a little bit about that. I'm not rushing into my main subject. Just follow my introduction. Are we good? Very well. So do you know that honoring God means giving him reverence, respect, and worship that he deserves as your creator and the sovereign Lord over your life? It involves aligning yourself with his will, his plan, and his purposes, so that whatever he says carries weight. If you honor a person and you reverence them, if they tell you something, you won't joke with it. They say, why are you taking it so serious? The person that told me this thing is very important. I won't joke with it. Because you honor what the person is saying. You value the words of the person. You value the sayings of that person. Am I communicating here? So Jesus speaking in John chapter 14 verse 15, he said it here. He said, if you love me, keep my commandment then. If you think you honor me, keep my commandment. Because one of the ways you show that you honor people and reverence them is that you obey whatever it is that I have said. If your children are at home and you tell them, don't touch this, don't touch that, and they start touching everywhere, and say, Daddy, you know I love you, I respect you. Say, shut up. So behave yourself. I told you not to touch it, I'm touching it. You say, Daddy, now. Sometimes you even get pissed off. I say, no, Daddy, here. Sit down. Because honor means that I'm telling you something and you do it. Why are you jumping up and down when I say sit down? If visitors come around, they will say the child does not have value or reverence for the father. And that is how Satan looks at unbelievers many times. When God says, do this, and whatever, Satan will say, he doesn't have reverence for his father. So I have right over him or her. And that's a subject for another day. Why the devil has right over many believers is because they disregard God. They have no reverence for God. They do not honor God. So Satan has a foothold over their lives. The only thing Satan has over you is what you have given to him. Because the new creation is so powerful. If you don't open up, Satan has no access. Am I communicating here? Are we here together, church? Yes. So your obedience reflects your love for God and your desire to live according to his word. If you go back to Genesis story, that's exactly what happened. Why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? To test their obedience. To test if they reverence him. To test if they value his word over any other thing else. And Satan came and said something contradictory. And he fell for the deception of Satan. And man fell as a result of that. And the curse came upon the ground, and all the consequences that we see today as a result of one man's disobedience. And I tell you what I'm about to discuss. One man's error can put 3-4 generations in bondage. If you pay attention to what I'm saying, if you value what I'm saying, you have found gold that generations after will look at, and they will be glad that they encountered it. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you will get a revelation on this, light on this, in the name of Jesus. So if I show you what God's standard is about sex, what God says about sex, would you believe it? Would you believe it? Would you agree with me? Yes. Unfortunately, there's no time again. So with these few points of mine today, I've been able to convince you a little and keep you at the edge of your seat till next week Sunday. We'll see you again. Let's rise in our faith, church. Let's rise. It's just, the time is already off. This service will be off. If you want to wait for second service, you can. I might have more time for second service. And I will go forward if I have to go forward. I will definitely go forward. Second service. I want you to pray and say, God, open my eyes. That's what you need for this message. Open my eyes to this subject we're about discussing. Open my eyes to this subject that we have started. This teaching series. Open my eyes to it. Open my eyes to it. Let me see. Because some people, as I speak, that's what is affecting them. Soul ties that they connected with. They are connected with certain strange people. Sex is not a physical activity. It has mental, it has mind connection, it has spiritual connection. God put it there for a reason. In fact, the original reason God put it is so that two human beings can become one. Listen, let me just whet your appetite a little bit. When you go to the registry and you put a man and a woman, after all the oaths, after all the dissing, after all the signing, see, if they go home and the man cannot consummate, the marriage did not happen. You don't understand. If they go home and the man cannot consummate it, if the woman comes back tomorrow and say, when we got home, I discovered that the man cannot manifest, there is no manifestation of the sons, nothing there. They will tell everything we said, everything we wrote, everything we did is a waste of time. It is null and void. Why? Consummation is proof that marriage has taken place. If that is, it is in a legal balance, then consider the temple of God in heaven, how they value it. And the value placed on it. Every time Satan wants to kill a generation, he blind their eyes from seeing God's truth. I want you to pray and say, God, open my eyes. As this teaching series starts, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see.
open my understanding. Man de ruana kapazai de rushi. Vreneke susu brenete. Ebeneke si kapataidash. Raka papai babaiba. Reke swan de ruba shana kapabababash. You're not praying in church. I want you to pray sincerely from your heart and say, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. I want to even learn something. I'm sincere. I am sincere. I've heard many pastors talk about it. I've heard people say all manner of things. But this one that Pastor Mavis is preaching this time, just open my eyes. Just let me even see. At least if there's something in what he's saying, open my eyes to see. Open my understanding. Enlighten me so that I will see. And for those that it has been affecting in one way or the other, and you are not aware, you will pray and say, God, if there's any area my past mistake on this subject is eating me up and I'm not aware, open my understanding and bring healing and restoration. Because that is why this message is coming. It's not just coming to say stop. It is coming to bring wholeness, healing, restoration, and a change of life. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high, to see you high and lifted up. You are shining, shining in the light of your glory. You pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. And we sing holy, holy, holy. And we sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you, Lord, let me see you. Father, I pray for your sons and daughters. The psalmist says that the entrance of your word is what gives light. And everyone here has agreed that they honor you and they believe your word. Lord, as it comes through me as a vessel in this teaching series that we'll be listening to, Lord, open our understanding. Now, God, I ask that by the one that has even come, as people go home, as they interact, as they move this week, Lord, I ask that you will enlighten them, broaden this subject in their hearts, show them your mind concerning soul ties and covenants, so that those who have been wrapped in one covenant or the other that is affecting them, double personalities, multiple personalities, they are manifesting all manner of mood swings and emotional ups and downs that they cannot explain the root. Doctors cannot explain, and psychologists have given them names that they also do not understand the root of. Lord, I pray that you will heal, you will save, you will deliver in the name of Jesus. Now listen, everybody, keep standing. If you are in church today and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to say, Pastor Mavis, I want to make that decision first. Let me even accept Jesus. Then we can start talking about this. Can you quietly raise your hand? I want to pray with you. I want to pray. If you are online, please indicate. Our team will try to see how they can reach out to you so that we can personally connect with you. Please indicate if you are online. Say these words after me, Lord Jesus. Today, I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive forgiveness of sin made available by your blood and eternal life into my spirit. I declare I am born again, I am saved, and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, church.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.